This is not a long message today. We say at this point.
Yeah.
You never know how the Holy Spirit may attend us here, but the Lord has a great love for us. Hey, you know, I was rehearsing an old thing. I think this is kind of funny. Hey, do you want to know the Word of God? And it's important to know the Word of God, you know? The Word of God is important to know because you don't want to be stupid. There's nothing worse than being stupid, is there? Have you ever been just really stupid? Tell you, go ahead and say, it's impossible for us to fail. Go ahead. It's impossible. Let's say it again. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to fail. One, two. Ready? It is impossible for us to fail. It is impossible for us to fail. That's what the Lord spoke to me Friday morning, two Friday mornings ago. I was doing my devotions, and the Lord just entered in and breathed that so heavy and resonated that and said, it is impossible. And it was in the context of me sharing a sense of the warfare of us going downtown. The council members the night before, actually the month before, had said, you guys are like the tip of the spear, and you go through things that we may not, and we want to gather around. It was their idea, so we want to gather around and decree a bit of a fundraising thing so we can get in the building. And I said, okay. So we came up with that whole process there. And I asked then a month later, because anytime you start to take territorially, you're combating invisible forces. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, except it's a big deal. You know, I like to whip up on the adversary like nothing's really going on. But every now and again, he can slip in and do stuff that's like, oh man, I need some backup.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I mentioned to them to pray for me, and they said we will. And next thing I know, the Lord is, I guess, in answer to their prayer, breathed a real life-giving word into my spirit and said, it is impossible for us. And the Lord included us. I thought it was so tender. It's impossible for us to fail. We're like the mouse on the top of the elephant's head.
Yeah.
It's impossible, little mouse, for us to fail. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm going, it's impossible. It's impossible. Because God is almighty. It's impossible for us to fail. And according to 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and therefore spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. And I want to mention just a few things introductorily. Ephesians 3:6 says the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Would you kind of elbow somebody there and say, I'm a fellow heir of Jesus Christ. And I'm a partaker of the promise in Christ through the gospel. I'm a partaker. And there's another glorious scripture that decrees that the hope that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, I read this last time. I want to go ahead, if you have the insert of the bulletin, I want us to just share a few of the things introductorily. We started with this question 4 years ago. What is the goal God is leading us to do that is so big that if He does not come through, we would fail? 4 years ago, we gathered together, came into agreement that we would purchase the gatherings at 216 Monroe, and the call is to go and serve the needs of the city. Everybody said it, go and serve the needs of the city. In fact, it was Larry Titus, my spiritual dad, who was coming into town 4 years ago, and he said, why don't you go ahead and sell that land and get down into town where the needs are? Apostolic authority has an effect on you, especially when it's your dad in the spirit. Years ago, I had as a shaping influence, a father figure, I had Jack Hayford, but when 21 years ago, I said, this rose up in me. I need a spiritual father. I need a spiritual father. And I was talking with a pastor, Gary Klaus, and I said, man, he said, well, ask the Lord who it is. I thought, okay. I said, Lord, I just need a spiritual dad. Who is it? And he said, Larry Titus. Just like that. Just Larry Titus. So I called up Larry Titus. I said, I remember I was walking and I was on the phone over at the golf course, Apple Valley. And I was calling him on the phone. And I said, I was on the verge of tears. And I said, will you be my daddy? He said, yes. Can I call you dad? Yes. He said, the Lord had me adopt you in my heart 2 years ago. When I first met him, the Lord identified, take that guy into your heart and be a father to him. But it's nothing that the father can go do. It's something a son must come and offer. And the Lord said, I'm going to take you up. And he gave me a dad. And last week, which was amazing, when he walked into the gatherings, the next visit he was here, he's also said, by the way, I want to come again anytime you can have me. So we're going to set a date up for him to come. He said, when he walked in the place, you know, like you and I, he just sensed God's presence and glory. He felt, I got to give something to this place. And the doors, he said, and we had figured up the doors were like quite expensive to repair. And he wanted to give to that. And then we have this incredible couple in our church that are going to take care of the doors as a gift to the glory of Jesus. And so I said, so he calls me up last week and says, he says, I found this note on my desk. I still need to send you $1,000 for the doors. And I said, well, we've already got somebody taking care of the doors, but we're starting this building campaign. He says, oh, that would be wonderful. Can I send it for that? And you use it for what I... So before we even started, God sent $1,000. And that was in response to one of the council members believing that there would additionally come money from outside. Amen. And then Amos Dodge calls me up. And Amos calls, and I had called him before Easter, and then I realized I had something I wanted to talk to him about, and I resolved it, and I didn't need to talk to him. It's funny how this works. I had already resolved it. I didn't need to talk to him. And so, but he has my voicemail, and it's before Easter. And if you know about Amos and Sue, they're the Capital Church, and they put on this massive, about 4,000, 5,000 people show up on Easter Sunday morning at the Capitol building downtown at the mall. And he puts on, he had the Newsboys there, this lead in worship. And he does this Easter Sunday morning, and it's a big deal in D.C. And he's been doing it for years and years and years. So I knew that that was coming up, so I didn't want to bother him. So I just said, it's okay, never mind. Well, he calls me back, and he says, hey, I'm getting back with you. What's up? I said, well, what I needed to talk to you about is no longer important. But let me tell you what we're doing. And he lit up. He said, oh, my gosh, I feel like the Lord wants me to come. And I got a week coming up here. I could be there. You're kidding me. Are you for real? He says, yes. Will May 31st work? He says, yes. Guys, the Lord, when the Lord says do something, he starts to confirm. And he says, well, I'm going to give at least 1,000. I don't know what he's going to do, because he says, we're in the middle of a building project right now. We're putting $450,000 into an orphanage. I don't know what country it was. He said, we have to go put another $70,000 into the something happened to the one in Haiti. He's called to do stuff with finances. And so he says, so man, I just feel like I'm supposed to be there. Can I come? So I just want to sow that seed in your heart. The Lord's setting this up to bless us. I don't know if I'll finish this thing today. That's right. That's what I'm saying. I've just got to get this out of here. God has continually given us a place of favor in the hearts of the city council members, county commissioners, city manager, city planner, of course, Judge Alloy, Main Street, all who understand that gatherings is a treasure, not only to our county, but also to the state of West Virginia. There's a special blessing for us having said yes to this. Even before we've moved in, to have Sunday services and completely inhabit the property spiritually and practically, we have used it wisely as a blessing to our community, which has brought significant gratitude out of the hearts of many people. In the past, present, and in the future, God has ordained both the sanctuary and the rest of the facility to be a place of inspiration. There is an easy access to God's presence, just like other places with an open heaven. Our worship and prayer times have pleased the heart of God, and as He has continued to pour vision and encouragement into our hearts. And this is the scripture that I got when I wrote this was Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time for every season, a time for every matter under heaven, and the one that the Lord was highlighting, there's a time to build. So it's kind of time to get in there. Okay, now, God has directed us to restore and inhabit the building that He has used over for His glory. Everybody say, for His glory.
For His glory.
Over the past generations. We were in there Friday night praying. I think it was Karen said, man, it was like when we're praying, it feels like there's other people in here. There's other people in here praying. It says you can. Yeah, she said I heard it was more than us. It was a whole bunch of more people. And there's something dynamically. There's a generational blessing because prayers don't leave the planet. But then of course they do. There's a residual effect of that. But there's also the Bible teaches in the Book of Revelation that there's the bowls of incense are the prayers of the saints, and when they're filled, they're tipped, and when they're tipped, ain't. Lightning and thunder, there's a cracking into the realm of the physical things, and God releases His purposes and breakthroughs happen. And she says, for some reason, I feel like all of their prayers and ours are about to tip it. Maybe it's a 100-year bowl. Maybe it's a bowl that's the requirement of this one is that we have 100 years worth because it's needed today. And I want to invite you to begin praying. It's so important to be praying because our country is in a place of massive need.
Yes.
And never before. And then we looked at Isaiah 58, verse 12. We have it on the wall over here as well. Listen to this, guys. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. I said that. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And we always think of that metaphorically. But it's literal. And then it says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And I was sharing with somebody this morning, I think this is amazing. A couple of weeks ago, we were just worshiping in there, and I started singing, love lifted me. I sing it here, it's okay. But you sing it in there, there's probably more people in there singing it with you. Because it's the foundations of many generations. And the spirit of the great cloud of witnesses. And there's this power that comes when you tap into the history, even of the history of hymns. It's extraordinary. I want to go ahead and say this to millennials. From the articles I read, millennials are 25 and under. And most of them don't have any church orientation. And those that do, I need to just say this. One of the directions that the church has taken was to become more of a sight and sound, program-based, build it for the consumers to come. And many of the millennials that went to those churches wanted something more authentic in their minds, wanted something more traditional, because they can get shows anywhere. So why come to church and get them? It's really interesting. And so there's a heart for something more grounded. There will be people, that generation will go into a town and buy a house that's 100 years old or restore it rather than a new house to have the feeling of roots. There, I've had a talk with them, different ones. Oh, no, I don't want a new house. I want to feel like, you know, I was like, really? I said, so when they walk into that building, there's this, I want to go to church here. There's a whole sense of there's something that's missing in their life. And that's a symbolic representation. Plus, it's not just the wood and the building, it's the spirit. And so there's something there. This is a confused world we live in. And before we move on, because it's really short after this. Yeah, keep telling them that. Really, it is. I don't have much. Look, usually I have 5 or 6 pages. It's just this. That's all. Okay. Okay, whatever you say. All right. I just think that Jeremiah 29:7 says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. This is Jeremiah 29. You know, everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. This is Jeremiah 29:7. And this is, he's speaking prophetically into, they're going to bring him out of there, but he says, let me go ahead and tell you why you're there.
Wow. Praise God.
Let me just go ahead and say that this is not your home.
That's right.
Heaven. You're a citizen. You're just passing through. So while you're here, pray for the welfare of your city, and its welfare shall be your welfare. And I'll go ahead and say it now. Pray for the next city planner, and pray for the next city manager. Jay's going to step down, and repositioning. We want godly rule.
Amen.
I'm claiming it. I already started claiming it. We want someone who loves the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Because when you don't have someone who loves the Lord, they use that office oppressively. And we're claiming that the Lord will give favor from His kingdom in those places. Are you there with me? Let's start praying that. I'm bringing it up. I'm not against anybody. I'm for everybody. Are you there?
Yeah.
So, now, I guess we're going to get to our points now. Okay, number one. It is impossible for us to fail, and therefore, since God's given us the victory, let's do this. Everybody say it. Live for the glory of God. Live, and this will be quick. Haggai 2:9, the latter glory. These are verses on your paper there. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I'll go ahead and just tell you what's wrong with the world in one word. Okay, it's a sentence. God is not glorified. That's it. That's it. And He made the heavens and the heavens of the heavens and all the earth. And He created it. And it's about one thing. It's about His name and about His glory.
Hallelujah.
It's about His name.
Hallelujah.
And it's about His glory. All right? And when you exclude Him from your life and act as if He doesn't matter, that's where the severity of God steps in. It says, remember the kindness and the severity of God. And the goodness of God is that Jesus has died for our sins, and we should just stand in awe of the fact that the Creator of the universe condescended and became a human being and died on the cross to pay our debt because we have fallen short of His glory. It's about the glory. And what happens is when you come back into relationship with Him, what was missing was the weight of His presence, which is the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're fulfilled when the glory is in your life. You always feel like you're lacking when the glory is missing. Live for the glory of God. Are you there? Here's another verse. I don't think I put it on the paper here, but even when it declares, the second Thessalonians is there, 2:14. Read that with me. To this He called you through our gospel, so that you may attain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to go down. This one's not there, but 1 Peter 4:14. Look at this. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Wow. That's worth memorizing. If you're insulted, remember, for His name, not because you're stupid, poor, sick and ugly. No, no, no. Because you're representing him. I'm having too much fun. Number two. Well, number one is live for the glory. Number two, give. Give for the glory of God. Give for the glory of God. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let me read it to you. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. So here's the scene. Peter's been up all night in the natural. He's done it as a professional fisherman. You go to the shallow end, there's certain things, you put out the nets, there's things that you do, and they went all night in the natural. And the boat is empty. And sometimes the Lord waits until your boat is empty. Sometimes he waits until you don't have any more, until you're done. And you've tried it on your own power and your own terms. And we've done this, and we've tried it on our terms. We've worked all night. We've done this on our terms. And the Lord says, "I want your boat. I want your business. I want your finances. I want your house. I want your boat. I want what concerns you." Well, I've tried it my way. And there's something happens when Jesus gets in the boat. When Jesus gets in the boat, now his power is present. And when he says a word, everything changes. And he gets in the boat and he says to Peter, after we've been teaching the word, "Cast your nets out on the deep. There ain't no fish in the deep. That's just not where they are." Natural thinking. How many of you had the here it is. This is Memorial Day weekend. And the Lord just, he comes up and he says, through this unified meeting, we need to have a campaign to get in the building. And we're decreeing $50,000. So far, it's like five or six, let's see, four or five has come just last weekend. 5,000 already. With a commitment like about three or four more suddenly. It's like, okay, we're almost up to 10 right off. Hallelujah. First week.
Hallelujah.
And it's just asking you last week. So you just listen and respond. Because when the word sends forth a word, it's different. And there's a piece of paper there. And I'll tell you what, I'll hand those out right quick. Ushers, if you hand that out, and I'll mention this. And then I want to talk just a minute about this. But here's what happens. Jesus gets in the boat. And now he's in charge, and he's saying, "I want to get in your boat, and I want to speak to each of you, and I'm going to do a miracle, and I'm going to cause things to happen that you can't have happen." How many of you have tried to make things happen on your own, and you sweat it out, and it doesn't work, and then Jesus shows up, and you hand the situation to him, and then he gets in it, and he gives you one instruction, and everything changes. And he gets in the boat and he says, "Cast it out on the deep," and just, well, you know, there ain't nothing there. But, you know, in the natural, I'm not really good at this because, I mean, I'm a professional at this and we've been working at this thing. But because you said so, I'm going to go ahead and tap into whatever you're saying and I'm going to obey you. And as I obey you, guess what? Now, he fills up the boat, right? And now the boat's starting to sink because there's so many fish.
Yes.
And the nets are starting to tear. And it says, go get another boat. And that's what the Lord is saying right now.
Amen.
The Lord's saying, respond to me.
Yes.
Give me your boat.
Yes.
Get in. Get your... Hand it to me. Listen to me. Respond to me. Act on what I tell you. And when you act on the Lord and you do His ways, He has an authority over stuff. And when Jesus speaks, things change. Now, I can sense in my spirit that increases are coming without effort. Because Peter didn't work harder. He was too tired. He just did what he could. And when he did what he could, obey the Lord. The Lord set in motion the prospering. And you know what? Apparently, for them, that was such a big catch that I guess it provided a bankroll for them to leave fishing and to launch their ministry with Jesus. So that's what happened. Because it's right there. It says, well, then they left their boats and like followed him. We got enough.
Sell it all. Let's go.
And the Lord, God, I wish I didn't get so emotional about this. We've been moving forward. And the Lord's ready to touch people in a way that we haven't been able to hear. And He's going to. It was Ted, 4 years ago, said, we got to get in here because there's people that will not go to heaven until we come down here. There's people that God has assigned us to bring to Him. Anytime the Lord tells you something, the adversary comes to fight with you and steal, kill, and destroy and all that stuff, right? Is that right? And so we've been at this little warfare thing. So, are you there? So I'm just declaring the need and trusting in Jesus every step of the way to do what I cannot do and for Him to do it and us to gather around together and go get in there. Right? What we're doing. Oh, wow. Let's go ahead and let's agree right now. The Lord, man, thank you, Lord. It takes me. I'm sorry. Thank you for the 50,000.
Yes, thank you, Lord. That's great. Thank you. And we believe, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Break the shackles off of people in this congregation. Break doubts. Break the spirit of the adversary. Destroy the works of darkness. Overthrow everything that's come to rip them off. Destroy, destroy, destroy. Break bondage. Crack open everything that's been a hindrance. In the authority of Jesus' name, release your blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Are you ready for number three? Forgive. For the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Forgive for the glory of God. Forgive for the glory of God. The Lord gave a word Friday night. Look, there's verses here. I'm not going to cover all these. But just this one, Mark 11:25 says, when you stand praying, forgive. For if anything, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And really what gives ultimate glory to God is that the shed blood of His Son doesn't go in vain. It's not shed in vain, but it's that there's a fountain of forgiveness that flows through every one of us and that we're unhindered through the dynamic power that you're unoffendable. Why? Because you're a forgiver. And hey, how many of you have had to forgive offenses? One of you just become like Jesus, said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what to do. Because most people, there's people mad at believers right now that have no reason. There's people who love them. Some of them, they've judged the people for being judgmental and all. It's just a big... But Jesus' people love. Because we were covered in mud, and He washed us off. And everybody's got mud. And I don't care how muddy you are, you're still a masterpiece in there somewhere. And God will help you. And so he spoke to us the other night. And he said these words. The Lord said, I'm trimming the wick. And I thought, wow, how appropriate for Sunday, for Pentecost Sunday. What in the world? And the Lord started to illuminate my heart. I've come to trim the wick of your soul. What is the wick when you trim the wick? It's the part that's already burned out. The part that's already been used up. The part of you that's like, I can't go anymore. This is all used up. Versus I come to trim the wick. And there's a fresh fire. And there's a new glow. And a new anointing and fire come upon you. Let's receive it. You've tried to figure it out your way. The Lord says, let's go ahead and trim the wick. This is not about what you've done in the past. This is about a fresh work of the Holy Spirit today. Everybody bear witness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, would you say with me, live for the glory of God? Would you say, give for the glory of God? And forgive for the glory of God. It is impossible for us to fail. It is impossible for us to fail. The victory is in Christ Jesus. And his anointing, it does everything for us. When we obey him and he gets in the boat, he does it. And the Lord is challenging our hearts. And the Lord is saying, I'm cutting out what has hindered you, what's been burned out. Look, we've been going at this thing for 4 years. And the Lord says, I'm here to trim the wick. That don't matter. What matters now is my fire is here. It's time. That's what's going on. And I can't not say this. Oh my gosh. This is the closing moment. Ted shared a vision that he had. He was at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. The Lord showed him a vision. He was standing in front of, he was on Monroe Street. Let's say the church is here and there's the telephone company. And he was facing down, toward Adams Street. And he saw plastic bags in the air. Plastic bags, all empty plastic bags, all in the air, And the Lord spoke to him and said, those are people. They used to have hope in them. They used to have life in them. They used to have purpose in them. And they're empty paper. They're empty plastic bags. And they have. And they're tossed to and fro with every strange doctrine. And they're all. And that's why I'm sending it down there. And I get out of my car. And I'm not kidding. There's one guy sitting here on the steps. And there's an orange bag floating in the air. And out of this eye, I see the orange bag. Out of this eye, I see the guy. And the Lord said, there's one right there. I don't usually see bags just float in the air, just sitting there floating. And the Lord said, I did this just so you'd see the vision I showed Ted. And you were empty one time. And you were devoid of purpose and devoid of the love of God and devoid of hope. And God said, I got people that are floating around all messed up and I'm sending you down there. That they get hope in their heart, that they get life again. Hallelujah. Let's applaud the Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing. Praise you, Lord. Let a fresh wind of your Spirit come upon us. Fresh fire fall on us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.